we've been going through the 1 Corinthians, a book in the Bible. And as we go through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, we've gone through all the way up, and we started last, a few weeks ago, in chapter 12, as we got to it, the first of three chapters on, the first of three chapters on spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is what gives us these gifts. Now I'm going to say flat out, and I believe that we're entering the most important chapter, chapter 13. And I think this is one of the chapters that, I don't know, it's taught on a lot, especially when you go into spiritual gifts. But it is the one of the most, it probably not the most important. The entire chapter is about love. It is about love. I think it is the most important spiritual gift that a believer can receive. It is a spiritual gift to love, to have God's love in us. And I'm also not sure if we as humans can fully have complete agape love, the word for love there, agape, like God, until we're truly in heaven with Him. I'm not sure we can. I personally ask God to overflow my heart and my mind with His love. But I confess, and I see myself, I fall short many, many times. Many times. As I was thinking and praying about this chapter, I recall asking God to grow my faith, increase my hope in Him, faith and hope. But by a large measure, I have asking for the gift of love, His love. And we're going to really get into the love of God. Yes, all believers are to seek the spiritual gifts. And we're going to be seeing that, as we saw some in chapter 12. 12, 13, and 14 are all on spiritual gifts. 13 is about one gift. And I think it lays the groundwork and explanation for all the others. And that's why it's the gift of love. Now, as far as the other spiritual gifts, granted, I've asked for them many a times. And those gifts can come and go as it brings glory and honor to God at times. But I'm going to say this. You can read about all the spiritual gifts. There is only one spiritual gift that we will carry over into heaven. Love. That's it. That's the only spiritual gift that are going to heaven. And I'll explain that to you here. Thinking on this, the three, as we'll see at the end of chapter 13, that it is faith, hope, love. But it says in there the greatest is love. So let's think about hope. We hope in Jesus Christ. Well, think about this. We're going to be with Him forever. So the minute we go to heaven, what are we going to hope for? We have it. We're with God in perfection forever. Our hope has been fulfilled. All the way, fully, completely fulfilled. We understand that. Faith, hope, faith, love. Faith. Faith in Jesus again. Grow my faith to where I can stand those battles. I can stand those things. The attacks come heavy and hard all the time. Grow my faith. I want to be stronger. But when I get to heaven, I'll be with Jesus. In perfection, in pure perfection, what do I have to have faith in? I'm with Him forever. So does faith carry over into heaven? As we look through all the gifts, and I know that any of the, when you look on teachings and all the spiritual gifts, they go into prophecy and tongues. That seems to be the big ones. But this gift is far more exponent, and we're going to see that in chapter 14. Tongues. Think about tongues, the gift of tongues, where they would speak in a different language to those, and it was to be there. We're going to be with Jesus face to face. Tongues are not going to be needed. We're in that perfection. The same is true with prophecy. What are you going to prophesy of? I'm in heaven for eternity with all God. There's no more prophecy to go. We're there. With God. And we need to understand that with God, when we're in heaven, we will be fully in everything we do in His love. Everything we do will be in His love. And we'll understand the gift of love. Sorry. I do believe, and I truly hope, that every believer needs to be asking God for more of His love in our hearts and our minds. I push this, I preach this. We need to be asking continuously for God's love in our heart. Because man's, human, is fallen. This comes with strings attached to it. And with God's love in our heart and overflowing, we may live and display earnestly His love to a lost and dying world. I do believe the greatest quality of any human life is love. To love. That's what this chapter is all about. In a world that has fallen, and this world fell when Adam fell, the world fell, Scripture tells us all this. There are so many things that can tempt us beyond measure. So many things that can tempt us. That can affect our thinking. That can affect how we act. By all means. And the fact that our human nature is sinful to begin with. There's a problem. Scripture says the human nature and the sinful nature of ours conflict the Holy Spirit. And that bothers me greatly. I do believe God can change us, and He's the one who does the changing. This is why. Understand, not one person in here can change themselves in that area. God's the only one. That's why I'll say, ask God for help. Ask God for His love in our hearts. Ask that our hearts are overflowing with His love, because God's the only one that can change, and God does change. Even if God were to change each one of us a little bit, pour a little more of His love in, how radically we could impact the world. Just a little. Quite amazing there. So you think, well, my heart's a pretty good heart. Okay. A lot of people say that. I got a good heart. A lot of people say that. My heart's good. Yeah. Okay. In fact, they have things. Now you can put your fingers on and test your heart. You know, oh yeah, I'm in good shape. But look at what the prophet Jeremiah records, what the Lord God says about man's heart. Put up Jeremiah 17. This is what God says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. God's telling us our hearts are sinful. So why not hand God over your heart? Lord, you're going to test my heart and mind. So pour your love into it. Pour your love into my mind, that my thinking and everything is lined up with your will, Lord. God's saying right there, our hearts aren't that good. So when you get thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good, I got a good heart. Well, I don't know. We need to be asking God to do that. Lord, search our hearts. Every one of us. This is individually. You don't want to go, Lord, go search that guy's heart, because he's really, really not doing good. No, 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 no. No, no. That, we're going to cover that more. Search our hearts. And clean out the garbage. Clean out the garbage. Because every one of us, every single person has that garbage in our hearts. And we need God to clean it out. So if you ask him, just a little at a time, he'll do that. And as he takes out the garbage, ask him, fill it with your love. Fill it with your love. We can ask God even to think about this, to enlarge our hearts. We can ask God to enlarge our hearts to put more of his love in it. Not to enlarge our hearts for worldly, fleshly things, but to put his love in it. Put for me up Psalms 119. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. And we're going to get into those commandments here. When you enlarge my heart, Lord. So you see, it is a thing to ask God, hey, enlarge my heart, Lord, so that I can fulfill your commandments, that I can have your love in my heart. This chapter, chapter 13, deals with love. Now, some of you may know about this, God's love. And this is where some of you may understand or have heard this before, but I'm going to go into it pretty good here. The word that is used for God's love. Now, I want you to understand that in the English language, you have the word love. I love hot dogs. Okay, my doctor told me I can't eat anymore because of blood pressure, but I love them. You can love your son, your daughter, your wife, your parents. You can love good friends. But the word that God is agape. Agape is the Greek word for God's love. The word agape is a selfless, sacrificial love. Selfless and sacrificial. Well, you may love this individual because they love you back. But what about the ones that's not too cool? It is the love of the mind. Is our mind always right? It is the love of reason, of the will. So what kind of love is this? Agape. The word is actually agape. It loves the bad. You know anybody that's pretty bad? Well, you watch any of the, criminal things or whatever. It loves the horrible. It loves the unlovable. It loves people that don't deserve to be loved. Have you ever heard that one? Well, that person don't deserve that. It loves them. Understand, it is love that loves them fully. The criminal, the murderer, the rapist, it loves them fully, completely. Does a person ever feel unworthy, not good enough? Guess what? We all do at times. Yeah, many of times I say, Lord, I. He showed me that earlier this morning. But this love that God has loves them fully. And you need to understand that. Your worst day, God still loves you fully. Your best day, God still loves you fully. Now, there are different words used for love. In English, we have one word, love. In the Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew. In the New Testament, there's also, or in the Greek, I should say, there's the word eros for love in the Greek. We get the word erotic. It is not in the New Testament at all. It is not there at all. It is a physical love between two people. Never used in the New Testament. There is affectionate love. That's a love between a child and a parent. And then there's phileo, the word phileo, which we get our word Philadelphia brotherly love. Brothers, a love for brother for a brother, holding someone so dear to their heart. That's the word phileo that's used in the Greek. Remember, the scriptures were written in the Greek. This chapter 13, when we read and we see the word love, every single time it is agape. So understand that when we go through chapter 13, when it says love, it is agape, is the word that is used in the Greek text. This is the love possessed by God. It is God's love. It is God's love for the ungodly. Put it for me, Romans 5, 6, please. For while we're still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Have you ever said, man, that's an ungodly person? Christ died for that person. God loves that person fully. God's love, this agape love, is for sinners, which is every single one of us. We're all sinners, right? Put up Romans 5, 8 for me, please. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Every one of us sinners, God's love. Let me ask you, do you love the ungodly? Are you questioning yourself there a little? Yeah. Do you love sinners? Yeah, you could be questioning yourself there. It is also God's love for his enemies, for enemies. Put up Romans 5:10 for me, please. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we're reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Do you love your enemies? God's love. When I'm asking that all of us want God's love in our heart, not the garbage that comes with our human nature. But I want you to understand something about God's love, the word agape. You can have phileo, you can have all these other words that in the Greek for mean the same love, but for God's love, the only way, there's one way, that a person to have this agape love in their heart and mind is to be a believer, and the gift is in the Holy Spirit given to the believer. Only true believers can have this gift because it is given by the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that. So, we can praise God because God pours his love into us. Now, when I read this, I think of taking a pitcher of water and just pouring it into a glass. God, Scripture says God's going to pour his love into us through the Holy Spirit. This agape love. And I want that water pouring into me, overflowing. And it'd be like a nonstop hose up there, just. Because when that water spills, it's going to cover and go to other people. This is why I believe we need to ask God to manifest his love in our lives. I truly ask that that happen. God manifests your love in my life. God manifests his love in your life. Look at Romans 5:15 for me, please. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The only way you can receive that kind of agape love, the only way that that love can enter and change you is through the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can do that is become a born-again believer. To surrender your life unto God. That's it. Otherwise, you're never going to have agape love in your heart. It only comes through the Holy Spirit. Think about that a minute. No matter how hard you can have brotherly love. You can have affectionate love, but not agape love. Selfless, sacrificial love comes in. This agape love, and I want you to understand this completely, is the greatest thing in all our life, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, this is the greatest. is to have this love poured into you. So if it's the greatest to have poured into us, shouldn't we be every day, Lord, help. Search my heart. Take at least one piece of garbage out and put your love in. Jesus Christ said that this love is what is the most important thing to your life. Put it from Mark 12, please. Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. The word there, love, in every one of those is agape. The greatest of these is agape love. Period. All others fail in comparison. Jesus says right there, there is no other commandment greater than these. You are to agape your God. You are agape your neighbor. Your neighbor could be a criminal. Your neighbor could be a rapist, a murderer. Who knows? What's he say? Agape, love them. That's why I continue to say over and over, ask God to put that love in your heart. You, as a believer, you get to go before the throne of God, before his grace, and say, Lord, this is what I'm asking. You're my Father. You're my Savior. I'm asking. Do we agape God? If you're a believer, you can. If you're not a believer, because it only comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Do we agape our neighbors? And that's the person you meet at Staters or at the restaurant or wherever you go or hitch your car with his, or do we love him? Understand this, folks. This, going through this in the next couple of weeks as we cover chapter 13, God, I had to go through every inch of it. What about the one that hates you? Do you agape him? What about the one that has no regard for God? Do we agape him? What about the one that cusses at you? I've had that many times, folks. Do we agape him? What about politicians who contradict your beliefs? Do we agape them? Am I getting to where it stings a little bit? Well, let me tell you, folks, I went through a lot of stinging over the last several weeks preparing for this chapter. What about the people who do evil all the time? Do we agape them? It's okay. Understand this. And like I said, you failed. It's okay. That's why Jesus came. We couldn't do it. But we can sure ask, God, change my heart. Change my heart. Here it is. Take it. I don't want it anymore, Lord. You got to fix it. But remember, he pours his love into our hearts. He pours it in. Ask him, do that. We're just following what his scripture tells us. His word tells us to ask for this. When I say that we need to ask God not only to pour out his love into us, but to manifest it in our lives fully. Don't let it just sit there. Pouring means it's overflowing too, which means we're going to manifest that out to others. We want to show God's love to others. Because look at the last part of that verse. There is no other commandment greater than these. Look through all the scripture. There's a lot of commandments in the Old Testament, all that. But those are the greatest. Those are the top. Notice, too, when you look at that, for believers, there is no other commandment. It is not a suggestion. Not, well, you know, I'll get around to it. You know, if that person starts to do better, starts to turn his life around, clean up his act, I can start to... Doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't. It is a commandment given by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to love. The only way we can do that is through the Holy Spirit in us. And God will pour that love into us. Now I'm going to have you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. I'll give you time to look at it there. John chapter 21, I meant to say. John chapter 21. We're going to start at verse 15. Everybody there? Close by? Close to it? Okay. I'll read it. I read out of the ESV version here. And this is a time when Jesus and Peter are talking right after the cross, and he's resurrected, and he's talking to Peter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Feed my sheep. Now, that is used in all teachings for pastors. Lambs, take care of them, feed your sheep, we're to take care of them. But as you got your Bibles open, I'm going to show you something here that we need to understand. And maybe you've never seen this before. And maybe you needn't realize it. And the way it goes is, he tells Simon Peter, he asks him three times, "Do you love me?" Okay, first one he says, "Do you love me more than these?" And Simon Peter says, "You know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my lambs." Jesus said, "Do you agape me?" Peter said, "You know I phileo you. I brotherly love you." Jesus was saying, "Agape love you. Do you agape love me?" The second time that Jesus said, he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Agape love." Simon Peter said, "Phileo" again. The third time, this is where Jesus changes it. Jesus said, "Do you phileo love me?" Peter says, "Yeah, I phileo love you." But notice that Jesus switched to the word phileo. And he went to this brotherly love when he asked that. And what he was doing was he was encouraging Peter through brotherly love, encouraging him. "Hey, look, I know what's coming up in your life. You're going to be a pastor. You're going to be shepherding. You're going to be in charge a lot. That's why I went through all this with you." And Peter was grieved, and he was encouraging him like a brother would. "Hey, come on. You can do this. You can do this." He was going to go, God was going to be changing Peter from brotherly love to agape love. It was going to be changing there. He was going to do that for sacrificial. He was going to change Peter for a sacrificial love. It is reported in all Christian documents that Peter was crucified. He was a martyr. All but one were martyred. John was the only one that wasn't martyred. But Peter was crucified, and he was crucified upside down because he didn't feel he was worthy to be crucified like the Lord Jesus Christ. But he gave a sacrificial love, and God was going to use him and change. He was asking, Jesus was asking Peter to change from phileo love to agape love. Brotherly love, yeah, that's great, but I need you to have the agape love in you. And I think Jesus right now is asking you, me, do you want to move from brotherly love to agape love? And that's a question you can ask yourself. Ask the Lord Christ. This is the love that believers truly need. If you're a believer, you truly need this kind of love in our lives for the ministry that God has given each and every one of you. Each and every believer is in ministry, one way or another. It could be ministering to your family, people you work with, whatever the case, we're all in ministry. But we need to have agape love. We need to go beyond brotherly love and ask God for that agape love. The same thing Christ was doing with Peter. Hey, I'm helping you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm moving you from brotherly love to agape love. But I'm going to ask you why you still got your spot in that Bible right there, John 21. Is jump down and look at verse 19. Just a few verses down. And this will show that what kind of death was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus told Peter, follow me. If you've been sitting there and you're going, Lord, I need that agape love. I want to move from brotherly love to agape love. Jesus is going to tell you, okay, follow me. Follow me. The greatest commandments we can fulfill. Notice, it's not all the other gifts. It's not all that. It's agape love, period. It's the greatest. There is no doubt in that. Understanding when he said, follow me, and he used the terms of sheep, in Israel and many other parts of the world where shepherds had their sheep, there was no fences. And sheep, as Scripture says, the Bible refers to humans, us, as sheep, is the dumbest animal. So about time you think you're real smart. Okay? Sheep have a tendency to wander off. Sheep have a tendency to go their own way. Sheep can't protect themselves. Sheep are vulnerable. They have to follow their shepherd to get fed. They have to follow their shepherd to get watered. We have to follow Christ. We have to follow Christ. There was no fences. They followed the shepherd. They knew his voice. Scripture tells us, my sheep, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. If you don't know his voice, you better ask him, help you. My sheep know my voice. They knew, the sheep knew that shepherd would protect and care for them. Caring for sheep, how they had to do it, and oil, and they were susceptible to pesticides. Just like humans, we're a mess. As believers, we are to follow Jesus. Completely follow Jesus. Now, you probably didn't notice, maybe some of you did. We never touched one verse in chapter 13, did we? When I got this far, I said, I guess I didn't get too far today. But I'm going to tell you, this is one of the most important chapters in all of Scripture, without a doubt. In chapter 13, and we're going to see over the next couple of weeks, that this chapter is going to contradict everything in the world. It's going to contradict it. Whatever that world can offer you, it's going to contradict it. And I believe that the words in this chapter, 13, is life-changing. The word is agape used in chapter 13. Every single word you see in chapter 13 where it says love is agape. It's not phileo. It's not any of the others. It is agape love. It is life-changing. The question is, same thing God says, kept asking me, are you changing, Greg? Are you going to change and follow the way? Which I said, yeah, Lord, I do. I felt like Peter. I do. You have to make your own decision. Either you're going to follow Jesus, lift his heart up, your heart up to him, let him fill it with his love, expand your heart so that you can receive more of his love, take the garbage out of your heart. That's all in your hands to follow him. Because that this chapter is most important. And God showed us the greatest act of love. He gave up his son. For you, for me. I have a son. I have a daughter. There's no way I could do it. No way. But God did. And God did. The greatest commandments are those two. And Jesus instituted a new covenant in his blood. And that's when they're up in the upper room the night before he went to the cross. And they celebrated. They didn't know at the time, but he instituted the communion, which we're going to do right now. It's a time to where you get to go before the Lord. And we're going to go into that communion time and you need to reflect on the Lord God and how good and how much he loves you. It's also a time that you can stand back and ask him, Lord, I want your love. I want that agape love. I want to move up from brotherly love to full-on agape love, to change your heart for him. He instituted communion, a time of worshiping and praising him one-on-one. So if I could have Dave come on up.